No mic. Oh, okay. Shalom. This must be the Pentecostal side over here. And that's the Baptist side, right? Oh, is that the Pentecostal side? All right. That's the Jewish side. Okay. Well, we're going to have a great service tonight, guys. I apologize we're getting a little late start, but my boss let me off late. We're going to have fun. Are you ready to have some? Well, it's hard to say Yom Kippur is fun. It's a very serious holiday, but we're going to have a good time in the Lord. Amen? Amen. We're going to have a good time.
Gonna need to pull the monitors up in my piano, please.
Okay. Want to test this? Hey, you want to test this wireless?
More piano, please.
Okay, I just want to say a couple words about this, about Yom Kippur, before we begin. We're going to pray. This is the holiest day of the year on the Jewish calendar, which is the biblical calendar. The world doesn't know it. Most of the world doesn't know it, but God knows it. And, you know, God says that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his plans are not our plans, and so forth. And so, and his times are not our times. His times are not our times. So thank you for coming tonight. This is God's appointed time. It's his word says, it says, I'm going to talk about it, but it says we're to gather on this day at sundown. Starting at sundown is the Day of Atonement, and it goes for 24 hours. And traditionally, it's a fast for those who are strong enough, those who are able, and those who are willing. It's a fast, and I'll talk about that a little bit. The Bible says to humble ourselves. So let's pray, and we'll begin the service. Heavenly Father, we just come before you on this night of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And Lord, it's a day of confession. It's a day of introspection. It's a day of repentance, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would cleanse us and forgive us. We thank you for the blood of Yeshua, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord. And we ask that you would forgive us for all our transgressions and failings as we enter into this holy service, Lord. And have your way. We commit this service into your hands, and we thank you that none of us is worthy, but your grace is sufficient for us. Amen. We begin with the traditional song called the Kol Nidre, which means all vows. And Jesus said, don't make vows. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And traditionally in Judaism, this holiday starts with this service called All Vows, Kol Nidre, and it's all about asking God to forgive us for the vows we said, you know, I'll pray for you, and we didn't pray for that person, or you know, we promised to do such and such for somebody, and we didn't do it, we didn't keep our promise, you know. And, you know, so God says, don't make vows. He takes that seriously. And so this is a song that Don's going to lead us in. It's a very beautiful, haunting melody as we begin the service. I'm going to turn it over to Miss Don.
This is all in Hebrew. So just come before the Lord and prepare your hearts and just listen to him. Go on a dream. Bakoname. yourself, O Lord, that we may return, renew our days as of old on this Yom Kippur day. Let's all stand as we invite the Holy Spirit and the Lord into our midst. And I think all of you brought your prayer books. So let's turn to page 15. We're going to say the Shema together. Page 15.
We'll start on 15 and go to 16, okay? And I'll say it in Hebrew. You can follow along. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levavcha, uv'chol nafshecha, uv'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, asher enochi mitzvcha, hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta baham, v'shivtecha b'veitecha, uvlechtecha vaderech, uvashachbecha, uvakumecha, ukashavtam, liot al yadecha, vahayula totafot beinecha, ulchatavtam, al mezuzot beitecha, uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is alone. Blessed be he whose glorious kingdom is eternal. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your life, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as reminders on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and upon your gates. Hallelujah. And we will continue in our traditional liturgy to page 77, which is the holiday Amidah 77. And Rabbi, if you will lead us. And
which paragraph would you like me to start?
We'll start on 4, and then you can choose which paragraphs you want with that.
4, okay.
Just go to.
I'm just going to read it in English, okay? In the middle there on 4.
And we'll read together.
You chose us for your service from among all peoples, loving us and delighting in us. You exalted us above all nations by hallowing us through your commandments. You drew us near, O our King, to your service and called us by your great and holy name.
Page
78. Oh, actually 79, unless you speak Hebrew. If anybody can read 78, raise your hand, I want to see. All right. That wasn't fair. All right, let's start at the top. Our God and God of our fathers, remember us and accept us as you remember our fathers, Jerusalem, your holy city, all your people of the house of Israel, and especially Messiah, the son of David, through whom you bring deliverance and well-being, grace, faithful love, and mercy, life, and peace on this day of atonement. Remember us, O Lord, our God, for our good, and consider us for a life of blessing. According to your promise of salvation and mercy, spare us and be gracious to us. Have compassion on us and deliver us, for we look to you, for you are a gracious and merciful God and King. Our God and God of our fathers, you pardoned our iniquities on this Sabbath day and on this atonement day. As it is written in Scripture, I, even I, am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I have blotted out as a cloud your transgressions, and as a mist your sins return to me, for I have redeemed you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you, to cleanse you from all your sins. shall you be clean before the Lord, our God and God of our fathers. Accept our rest. Sanctify us by your commandments and grant our portion in your Torah. Satisfy us with your goodness and gladden us with your salvation. Cause us, O Lord, our God, in love and favor, to inherit your holy Sabbath, and may Israel rest thereon and bless your name. Purify our hearts to serve you in truth, for you are the forgiver of Israel, your people in every generation. And besides you, we have no king who pardons and forgives. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord, King, who pardons and forgives our iniquities and the iniquities of Israel, your people, who makes our transgressions pass away forever. King over all the earth, who hallows the Sabbath and Israel, his people, and the Day of Atonement. O Lord our God, be gracious to your people Israel and accept their prayer. Restore the worship of Israel to your sanctuary and lovingly and favorably receive the offerings and prayers of Israel. May the service of your people always be acceptable to you. O may we witness your return and mercy to Zion. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord, who restores your divine presence to Zion. Amen.
Continuing on 81.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don says continue on page 81. Wendell, would you read? You have a microphone there? Read down to verse 7.
We give thanks to you, for you are the Lord of our God and the God of our fathers for all eternity, the rock of our lives and the shield that saves through every generation. We will thank you and praise you for your care. We entrust our lives to your hands. Your miracles are continually with us, and your wonderful goodness overflows all times. Even morning and noon, you are good, and your mercy never fails. You are merciful, and your faithful love never ceases. We will always have hope in you. For all is our King, God, our King, we will thank you always and praise you forever. Oh, inscribe all the children of your covenant for a happy life, and may everyone worship you forever and praise your name sincerely, O God, our salvation and our help. Deserving of praise, we are you, O Lord, gracious one, to whom it is appropriate to give praise. Grant abundant peace to Israel, your people, and all mankind forever. For you are the sovereign Lord of peace, and may you bless all your people, Israel, and your children everywhere at all times with your peace. In the book of life, blessing, peace, and good sustenance, may we be remembered and inscribed before you, we and all your people, the house of Israel, for a good and peaceful life. For you have said, as for him who overcomes, I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge him before the Father and his angels. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord, who makes peace.
All right, and continuing with Shamnu, page 82, starting page 82, it's the next page. And
I'll lead us in that.
Rabbi will lead us. Okay. And
so the Shamnu is a traditional prayer. It's an ancient prayer. And it's an interesting concept. It's a Jewish concept. One of the things you learn about the feasts of the Lord is that he tells us to do them together, whether it's the Sabbath, whether it's Yom Kippur, whether it's Sukkot or Passover. He tells you to do it in a solemn assembly and gather together. Even though Jews do Passover typically in their homes, they invite all their relatives and family, and they have, my parents would have 19 people or 20 people in the house. I suppose we used to go to seders like I do with 300 or 400 people sometimes. We'd go to these huge seders, Passover seders. But God's, in Judaism, it's customary to do things, these celebrations, these festivals, as a family, God's people coming together. And we'll read that in the scripture. But so this is a prayer of corporate confession, where we confess our sins together, We don't say, you know, you look at your neighbor and say, I did this. We all just say it together. But so you can see on the left in English, I'm going to sing the Ashamnu, and then you can read it in English as I'm singing it or after I sing it. But well, actually, what I'm going to have you do is repeat after me in Hebrew as I say it. And you follow me in Hebrew and repeat, and then we can look at it in English, okay? Ashamnu.
Ashamnu.
Magadnu.
Magadnu.
Gazalnu.
Gazalnu.
Dibarnu dofi.
Dibarnu dofi.
Hevinu.
Hevinu.
Vehirshanu.
Vehirshanu.
Zadnu.
Zadnu.
Hamasnu.
Hamasnu.
Tafalnu sheker.
Tafalnu sheker.
Yatsnu ra.
Yatsnu ra.
Kizavnu.
Kizavnu.
Latsnu.
Latsnu.
Maradnu.
Maradnu.
Niatsnu.
Niatsnu.
Sararnu.
Sararnu.
Avinu.
Avinu.
Pashanu. Sararnu.
Sararnu.
Kishinu oref.
Kishinu oref.
Rashanu.
Rashanu.
Shichatnu.
Shichatnu.
Tiavnu.
Tiavnu.
Tainu.
Tainu.
Titanu.
Titanu.
Sarnu.
Sarnu.
I'm going to actually stop there, and we'll read in English. Wendell, would you read, we are guilty of?
We are guilty of arrogance, blasphemy, corruption, and dereliction, evil counsel,
frivolity,
guile, hypocrisy, insolence, jealousy, levity, mendacity, nefariousness, obscenity, profanity, quarrelsomeness, rebelliousness, slander, transgression, unrighteous, villainy, wrongdoing, and zealotry. We have turned aside from our commandments and your good instruction, and it has not profited us, but you are just concerning all that has come upon us, for you have done truly, but we have dealt wickedly.
Amen. Okay, I'll do it in English. May it be your will, Lord, our God and God of our fathers, to forgive all our sins, to pardon all our iniquities, and to cleanse us from all our sins.
For the sin that we committed in your sight forcibly and willingly.
For the sin we committed against you with hard-heartedness.
For the sins requiring a burnt offering, and for the sins requiring a sin offering. Continuing, page 87.
For the 85, sin, Don, 85.
Oh, did
for the sin we commit on the top of 85. for the sin we committed in your sight without intention, and for the sin we committed against you by idle talk, for the sin we committed in your sight by lustful actions, and for the sin we committed against you by offensive speech, for the sin we committed in your sight by oppressing others, and for the sin we committed by contempt for parents or teachers, for the sin we committed in your sight by lewd association, and for the sin we committed against you by insincere confession, for the sin we committed in your sight by violence, and for the sin we committed against you by defaming your name. Forgive us all sins, O God of forgiveness, and cleanse us. And I sing in Hebrew. Kulam Elohai Tzlichot Slach Lanu Mechal Lanu Kaper Lanu Miyal Kulam Elohai Tzlichot Slach Lanu Mechalanu, slachlanu, mechalanu, kaperlanu.
Wendell, middle paragraph, please.
For the sin we committed in your sight by fraud and deception, and for the sin we committed against you by bribery, for the sin we committed in your sight by mocking, for the sin we committed against you by slander, for the sin we committed in your sight by usury and interest, for the sin we committed against you by the pride, and for the sin we committed in your sight by our manner of speech, and for the sin we committed against you by wanton glances, for the sin we committed in your sight by arrogance, and for the sin we committed against you by scornful defiance.
Forgive
all us sins,
O God of forgiveness, and
cleanse us.
V'yal kulam Elohai tzlichot Zlach lanu mechal lanu Kaper lanu V'yal kulam Elohai tzlichot Zlach lanu mechal lanu Slach lanu mechal lanu Kaper lanu.
Third paragraph, please.
For the sin we committed in your sight by shirking responsibility, and for the sin we committed against you in passing judgment, and for the sin we committed in your sight by plotting against others, and for the sin we committed against you by gross selfishness, and for the sin we committed
by your foolishness, for the sin we committed against you by being stubborn, for the sin we committed in your sight by running to do evil,
for the sin we committed against you by talebearing, for the sin we committed against you in your sight by swearing falsely, and for the sin we committed against you by groundless hatred, for the sin we committed against you in your sight by breach of trust, and for the sin we committed against you by confused heart.
Sins, O God of forgiveness, and cleanse us.
V'yal kulam Elohai tzlichot Slach lanu mechal lanu Kaper lanu V'yal kulam Elohai tzlichot Slach lanu Mechalanu, slachlanu, mechalanu, kaperlanu.
For the sins requiring a burnt offering, and for the sins requiring a sin offering, and for the sins requiring varying offerings, and for the sins requiring guilt offerings, for the sins requiring corporal punishment, for the sins requiring 40 lashes, for the sins requiring premature death, and for the sins requiring excommunication and childlessness. Forgive us all these sins, for we read of our Messiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our sins was upon him, and all his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In the past, God provided atonement for us through the sacrifice system. So we read.
And I want to read that because somebody said to me yesterday on Facebook, won't name names, but they said that goats are evil. And it's goats aren't any more evil than rainbows are evil or guns are evil. Goats are it's this, it's what man makes of these things. It's what man has taken the rainbow to mean. It's what when Jesus said he will separate the sheep from the goats, he was using as a metaphor to say, I'm going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous, the wicked from the sinless. Amen. He was using it as a metaphor. He wasn't saying that goats, when he cursed the fig tree, he wasn't saying don't eat figs. Okay? In fact, figs in Israel are delicious. I've had fresh figs. Anybody ever had a fresh fig? Raise Amen. Your hand. Amen. Aren't they wonderful?
Yes.
Well,
they
you're
are.
All sinners because they're wicked. Because Jesus cursed the fig tree. Now, seriously, if goats were evil in and of themselves, let's read this verse here in Leviticus 16. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, in the Holy of Holies, by the way, and before the mercy seat, and he shall make an atonement because of their transgressions with respect to all their sins. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have given you the blood on the altar as an atonement for you, because it is by the blood, by reason of the life offered up, that makes atonement. Now he provides that atonement through Yeshua, our Messiah, as he explains to us. The blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on the unclean sanctified them so that they were ceremonially clean. How much more then will the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Ruach Hashem, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, offered himself unspotted to God, cleanse your consciences from worthless deeds, that we may serve the living God. But when this priest had offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by one sacrifice he has perfected forever those who are being made holy. Jewish brothers and sisters who may be watching on TV or visiting tonight, I want to tell you that the sacrificial system ended not because the Romans destroyed it, not because the Romans burned the temple, Amen. But because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for your sins, and for the sins of all mankind, from the foundation of the world to the end of the world. All the names in the book of life, he knows. They were Daniel saw them in Daniel 7 and Daniel 12. The archangel said, Daniel, seal up the book until the end of days, and it'll be opened again. And then John saw it, I believe in Revelation 20. He saw the books opened at the white throne judgment. So the names have always been in the book. God knew who would be righteous and whose names. He also knew our deeds, and that would be in the book of deeds. But apart from that, so goats aren't. If goats were evil, would the holy God of Israel bring them into his holy temple and sprinkle them in the Holy of Holies? Think about that. Just a thought. I don't think so. But, you know, God uses metaphors at times. And so Satanists have turned the goat into a symbol of satanic things and worship. All right, what's next, Miss Dawn?
Well, we're going to begin some worship. So this next song, I just want you to contemplate what we've read and gone through. And there's a list in there of other things that you might, as we sing this next song, that you might consider. And I just want you to take this next song and a couple songs as we enter into the Holy of Holies to just consider and bring your life before Him and examine yourselves. God says He examines us, but we also have to examine ourselves. Holy is the name.
Yeah.
take my life and let it be. Wholly yielded, Lord, to thee. Lord, take my life and let it be.
Proclaim the tender mercies of my Lord.
humble myself at the sight of the Lord. Humble myself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble myself in the sight.
Humble myself in the sight of the Lord. Humble myself in the sight of the Lord. Have a few announcements, and I just thank you for the holy presence of the Lord tonight, huh? Amen. He is good, and His mercy endures forever, amen. And He sprinkles us with His blood, clothes us in His righteousness, and when we confess our sins, says He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And so we have a place to go when we mess up, amen? And it's wonderful to know that He doesn't leave us in the place that we're at, that He takes us and He makes us His own. So praise the Lord for His wonderful mercy. So I just want to, before Rabbi comes back and brings a message, I think I've put things in the bulletin for you. So We've got a Neela service tomorrow, the closing of the gates. Tonight brings fasting for 24 hours. So if you wish to join in us, it's God's appointed time for a fast. It calls for it in the Bible. So we try to honor his word. Amen. The best we can. And so we'll be fasting as a community together till tomorrow at 6:30. And we'll come back together and have some more worship. And then we'll blow the shofar, the long, continuous blast of the shofar, which is a prophetic end of all judgment and the return of the Lord. It's a prophetic picture of this time that we're in, is the return of the Lord and his establishing his righteous kingdom on this earth. And so come and walk that out prophetically. You know, God may say something to you that he didn't say to me. He may give you a vision. He may give you something just totally special that if you didn't come and observe his feast, you may not have, it may not have happened for you. You may not have received. So we are imperfect, but God's perfect, and he says to come together and trust him for his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, 6:30. And then we'll grab something to eat afterwards together. Probably at Cracker Barrel, I believe, is what the plan is. Following that, we've got Sukkot coming in 10 days after Yom Kippur. So God appoints a time of rejoicing, a time for a party. There's a time for being serious and getting right with him. You know, come to Jesus moment, you know. Let's observe our things, and then there's a time for a party. So the party is 10 days after Yom Kippur.
Our celebration is 10 days.
The feast starts 5 days. I was thinking it was 10 days. So I guess it's, anyway, 5 days. I stand corrected. But the feast, we are going to get together on the 28th. So I have that flyer in your bulletin as well. And for this, you're going to need to register because we're going to provide food, breakfast and dinners, a couple dinners. And if you'd like to come and camp out, we have camp spaces, either any kind of RV that you would like to bring or just a tent. And we're going to celebrate the feast as it says, he tells us to have a party outside and have a fun time dwelling in temporary dwelling. So he says, get your tents out and let's have a rejoicing time together. So that's what we're going to do. And so register. You can go online and register. Tell your friends about it. We've got special things lined up. Deborah Klein, Ian Torno, and Vince, her husband, are going to be coming to lead us in worship. And we've got all kinds of other events, activities. I think we're going to have some dance classes. Miss Diane's going to lead us in dance classes. So if you want to sign up for that, or there'll be some things for the kids. And I think Saturday night's going to be youth night. We've got a minister coming from North Carolina, David Durham, and he's going to be leading the youth. So if you've got teenagers who, you know, that you can bring, please bring them out. And let's have a great time, okay? So that's there. And I think that I've gotten to the end of the announcements. Oh, we do have calendars coming, and I think they should be here any day now, new calendars. So for the new year, we'll have them definitely at the Sukkot celebration. So let us know if you'd like a new calendar. I don't have one to show you. But Rabbi's always talking about the biblical calendar, so go ahead and think about getting one when it comes in. And there's all kinds of books and materials out in the foyer if you'd like to read more about the feast. Let's see, I've got one here. Christ in the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you want to read up on the Tabernacles feast coming up, then get one of these. Today is God's appointed time for forgiveness, and we've got a wonderful book on forgiveness out there. It's really changed a lot of people's lives, and this will help you to forgive. And sometimes it's hard to understand how to go through that process if we've been wounded very deeply. And so take this book. It will really, really help you. It'll change your life. And Forgiving Forward, it's a wonderful book to read during this season. We also have books about just all the feasts listed in Leviticus 23, God's appointed times. So this is a classic, and it explains a lot of things about the feast. So pick one up and during the foyer. So that's all. I'll turn it back over to you, Rabbi. Everybody's got one. Mm-hmm. If you want more flyers, there are extras out there to
give. Actually, they're up here. Yeah.
Oh, Rabbi's got them.
Well, I didn't know you were going to pass. I didn't know they were passed out. Would somebody grab them and put them back out there? Thanks, Fred. Let's give a round of a praise offering to Fred here. What you all don't know is Fred and Wendell and I, and it was mostly Wendell did most of the work, and Fred and I ran trips to Lowe's and got food and got paint and sealant. But we've had three floods in our fellowship hall in the last month, and if you saw it, it's a mess. And so Wendell sealed. He spackled. What was that stuff you used? Fast plug. He used fast plug. He filled all the cracks in the wall, and there were cracks between the wall and the floor that went down. You had to use a whole can of that stuff at one point, five cans to go down the cracks and fill them where water was coming up for the flood from the rain. This isn't the hurricane. This is just rains a couple weeks ago, three four weeks ago. And then after he did that, what'd you call that, fast plug? Once he did the fast plug, then we got dry lock, and he painted the whole wall he sealed it with dry lock, which is a water protectant seal. He painted that, and we had to tear out the walls and the carpets of our fellowship hall, and it's just a nightmare. So Fred was a big help. Fred, who just took the Fred doesn't even go here. He goes to another church, but he helped out. And thank you, Fred. We're very grateful. And thank you, Wendell, for getting on that. It's not leaked yet. It also hasn't rained either. But we'll test it when it rains. We certainly will. All right. Well, we're glad you're here. Are you having fun tonight?
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. All right. We're gonna take a love offering for the ministry that we're doing here. And if those have tithes, you can bring a tithe. If this is your congregation, if you like to give a love offering, you're welcome to do that. We're gonna pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the giver. We thank you for the gift. We thank you, Lord, that everything we have belongs to you, Lord. And there's nothing that is not yours, Lord. So we just ask that you would put it on our hearts what you have for us to give tonight, Lord, to be generous and to bring forth a blessing. Lord, if we've been a blessing to anyone, let this offering be a blessing back, I pray. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua our Messiah, amen and amen. Amen. And this is a song we're going to sing as we take the offering. is a song I grew up singing in the synagogue. It's called Bashana Haba'ah. It means in the new year. And this is the Jewish New Year, which we're this past week. So we're going to sing this fun song.
Bashana Haba'ah, Nashev HaMerpeset, then it's me to put in at a door. Yeladim Bachushal. The office Kutofes had been up. It opened a saddle. O Tibet, come a tome. Bashana, Bashana.
Song in Israel. It's one of the folk songs of Israel, and everybody knows it. And isn't it fun? It's just a neat song. Kind of like, you know, this land is your land, this land is my land kind of song, you know. Puff the Magic Dragon, whatever, you know. One Tin Soldier. Anybody remember those things besides me? I mean, am I the only one? Sixth grade singing One Tin Soldier Rides Away. Yeah. It was a little before my time, but yes, I do know the song. A little before, but I do, lovely song. Now when I became a believer, it was gathering flowers for the master's bouquet, beautiful flowers that will never decay. That's where all the flowers went. I think I need to repent over that one. Okay, I had something else to tell you, and I can't remember what it is. Oh, tomorrow night we're having service. Did you tell them? If you're having fun tonight, it gets even more fun tomorrow. And we're going to fast, and then tomorrow night we're going to go out to Cracker Barrel afterward and break the fast. So I want you to encourage you to be praying for as you fast tonight and tomorrow, spend the day. For those of you who are able, if you're home, if you're available to fast and pray, if you're healthy to fast and can do it for 24 hours. You know, if you need to take some food with medicine or something, whatever you can do. You know, give up chocolate, give up coffee, whatever. But here's the deal. Let's pray for Israel, because Israel is at war with Iran right now. You may not know this, but Israel is at war with Iran. Iran has brought the war to Israel's doorstep, and they've brought weapons and chemical weapons and missiles right into Syria, and Israel has been bombing them. And the only thing that's keeping Russia back from stopping Israel is the United States. And I've been saying that the United States is going to destroy Iran's nuclear capability before Donald Trump leaves office, and I'll stand on that. And that's going to be in his second term. But time will prove if I'm right. But anyhow, apart from that, pray for Israel. pray for the Messianic community, pray for vision, and pray for us. We're such a small little congregation. You wouldn't believe what we do. How have you been to our feasts and Passovers and banquets? Paul McCartney. That's my Paul McCartney base. Paul Wilbur and McAdam. How have you been to all these things? Marty Goetz and all these things. You enjoy that stuff? Do you know? Praise the Lord. Do you know that we're doing it with 25 or less people? Do you know that we're doing all that stuff with a congregation of 25 or less people? And that's a miracle. I mean, just to be able to bring, you know, Paul Wilbur said to me when he came last time, you know what he said to me? He said, Joe, I said, Paul, how they don't have you at the conferences anymore. We have Messianic conferences where 50 congregations get together. He says, they can't afford me. I said, wait a second. How is it I can, on faith, afford you, accept your fee? He gives me a discount, but I accept your fee, which is several thousand dollars. Cost me about $4,500 to bring in Paul Wilbur. And on faith, bring you here, and we bring in enough money. And I go out and raise money. I ask people, I go to people, business people, and they'll give me $500 or my friend Bill back there will make a painting and we'll sell paintings and to raise money and we'll have Paul Wilbur and things like that and Marty Goetz. But guys, we need your support. We need your support to do it. Some of you are regular, some of you aren't. But if you're not regular, please consider supporting this local Messianic ministry. We're the only ones bringing these guys in and bringing this stuff in. If you enjoy it, if you enjoy McAdam and Paul Wilbur and Marty Goetz, and somebody asked me one time, we had an exodus of people, and somebody said, one gal said to me who left, this is like 6, 8, and 9 months after she left, she said, are you having Marty Goetz or Paul Wilbur? And I said, no. And she's like, why not? I said, because you left. Well, it's true, because you left. I mean, we can't do it. We can't do it out of thin air, can we? Can't make things happen out of thin air. I mean, and the Pentecostals showed up, but the Baptists didn't. You know, so I'm just kidding. Oh, seriously, we really, we're not. In order to do this stuff, we try to bring to the community wonderful things. Amen. Would you agree with that? Do we try to bring good things to this community? Amen. I hope you agree. I hope you've been to our Passovers and stuff and you've had fun. We bring in the dancers and all that. And, you know, a lot of people have never seen this stuff before. But anyway, so we're going to take an offering. And did I take an offering? Yeah, we took it. Well, we're going to take another offering. Just kidding. I learned that from Jesse Steins. He would count the offering, my friend Jesse Steins, Pastor Jesse, in Elk Park, North Carolina. He'd count the offering, and if it wasn't enough, he'd take a second one. Is that right? Wendell was there. Praise the Lord. All right. You didn't start it yet, did you? Okay. Hold on. Please. All right. God's given me a message for you, and it's not going to be a long message. But I hope you'll come tomorrow night and to the concluding service. I hope you'll come to, let me just get some water here. If you'll come to the concluding service tomorrow night and celebrate, come break the fast with us. It's fun. Isn't it fun, Deborah? I mean, it's a good time. If you can't afford Cracker Barrel, Wendell has offered to pay for anybody that can't afford it. So he said, I want to help all the poor people that can't afford Cracker Barrel. No, he didn't say that. I'm just kidding. But I know he would do that. He would do that. Amen. Amen. No, we'll take care of you. If anybody can't afford to eat, to go out with us, come on. Just no, we've never turned anybody away. Amen? All right. We can start, dear honey. So I want to welcome the folks on Facebook. Let's all say shalom, folks on Facebook. Shalom, Facebook. Hello. Chag Sameach. Happy Yom Kippur. We're glad you're with us tonight. Before I begin my message, I just want to start in Leviticus chapter 23, and that explains a little bit about the festivals. And this is really important to get this. Now, tonight, been saying for a week or so, I've been teaching this on video. Tonight is the 10th day of the 7th month. Okay? 10th day of the 7th month. It's not July. The 7th month on God's calendar is called Tishrei. Everybody say Tishrei. Tishrei. Okay? And we're on the 10th day of the 7th month, and that is always, every year, is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And do you know when the year of Jubilee starts? On Yom Kippur. The year of Jubilee, if you read in the Bible, in Leviticus 25, starts on Yom Kippur, on this holiday. So the Jubilee, it always starts, whenever the year of Jubilee is, it's going to start on Yom Kippur. Okay, you can read that for yourselves. I'm not going to go there. It's Leviticus 25. The year of Jubilee is going to start on Yom Kippur. On the 10th day of the 7th month is when the year of Jubilee is going to start. Whatever year it starts, Now, I believe the year of Jubilee is when the Lord returns. A lot of people have been saying that the year of Jubilee. Now, I know a lot about this, Buzz, and I'll tell you why. Because the word in Hebrew for Jubilee is Yovel. And Yovel is the Hebrew way to say Jobel. Okay? So I know a lot about Yovel because I know a lot about Jobel. One time I was teaching with this guy, Mike Pinner, and we were teaching on Jubilee, and I said, I'm the Jew and he's Billy. But anyway, seriously. Okay, Leviticus 23, verse 1. So... The Lord spoke. I'm going to talk. There's a reason that Jubilee. And I'm going to explain Jubilee in a minute. But the Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these." There's a lot packed into that second verse there. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times. Those are His moedim. Can y'all say that moedim? Appointed times. It's just a fancy word for appointments or feasts, holidays. Feasts, appointments, holidays. Okay? So God, these are God's appointments. Okay, does God show up on Sunday? I went to church at New Life a week ago and I visited New Life Baptist Church on a Sunday. And God was in the house. Amen? God was there. And that was, we had a great time. I got to share for a little bit. Amen. God was there. But it was not just because it's not the Sabbath. It doesn't have to be the Sabbath. As I've always said this, Veterans Day isn't Secretary's Day. And the 4th of July isn't Memorial Day. And Labor Day isn't Christmas. And Sabbath isn't Sunday. If you read the Bible, if you care what the Bible says. Does anybody care what the Bible says? If you care what the Bible says, read Matthew 28 where it says, on the morrow after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week. It says that. Matthew 28, verse 1. On the morrow after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, at dawn, the women went to the empty the tomb and they found these angels sitting there. And the angel said to them, and the tomb was empty. And the women started crying, and the angel said, "Why, women? Why do you weep? this Jesus, this Yeshua you're looking for, he is not here. He is risen from the dead. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't weep. He's risen. Hallelujah. On Yom Echad, the first day of the week. See, instead of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Hebrew days of the week are Sunday is Yom Echad, day one. So when you read in the New Testament, when it says on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, Yom Echad. Monday is Yom Sheni, the second is day two, Yom Sheni. Tuesday is Yom Shlishi, it's the third day. That's in Hebrew. And Wednesday is Yom Revi'i, that's the fourth day. And Thursday is Yom Chamishi. And Friday is Yom Shishi, is the sixth day. Shesh is the number six. And so Yom Shishi is Friday. And Shabbat is Saturday. They don't even say Yom Shivi'i, which would be Yom Shivi'i. Sheva is the word seven, so it would be Yom Shivi'i. But they don't call it Yom Shivi'i, they call it Shabbat. In Latin American countries, they have no problem understanding. It's easier for Latinos to come to the Sabbath and understand when the Sabbath is. It's easier for them to understand it because the word for Sabbath in Spanish is sábado. Sabbath. So they know it's easier for those who... Now, you have this tension. You have all these Christians, missionaries, telling them Sunday's the day to worship, but the Bible says worship on Sabbath, and Sabbath is Saturday, and they know sábado is Sabbath, but the tension is all these people are telling them, we worship on Sunday, and our church and all the churches and the Catholic churches and the Protestant churches and the charismatic churches worship on Sunday. So what do the people do? They go worship on Sunday. That's just, everybody does it. We do it. Why do we do it? Because everybody else is doing it. All right. So my message, my second point before I begin the fullness of the message tonight, and it's a very brief message. What I wanted to say is, it says gather together. It says, not only are these God's appointments, so these, the Sabbath is one of eight appointments or feasts that God has in Leviticus 23. The Sabbath is one of eight where God says, come together. Have a holy convocation. That means a solemn assembly, a sacred assembly in the house of the Lord. Get together in the house of the Lord. Get together, have a sacred assembly. Amen. What's the word for assembly? Ecclesia. Kahila. In Hebrew is the word for assembly in Hebrew is kahila. Or synagogue. Is another word for assembly. Amen. Synagogue, ecclesia, the assembly of the called out ones. Amen. So what God's saying is, go to the synagogue on my feast. That's what he's saying. Why? Why would he want you to go not do it at home? Because he wants Jew and Gentile to come together. He wants Jew and Gentile to come together. And he wants us, there's no shame in not being Jewish, okay? I always meet people, and they're always saying to me, Rabbi Joe, I think I've got some Jewish in me. And I'm like, I listen to them, but honestly, I could care less. I just happen to be Jewish. If I was Chinese and God called me to be a Messianic rabbi, I'd be a Chinese Messianic rabbi. Now, I'm not going to start making faces or anything like that, okay? I'm going to be politically correct. Okay. But I'm a Jewish Messianic rabbi. So I just happen to be a Jew. And why did God make me a Jew? I don't know. I was born that way. My father always says, he says, 20 years ago I was... Well, he doesn't say it anymore. He died in 2003. But he says, 20 years ago I was better. People ask me, they say, how are you doing? I say, 20 years ago, I was better. That's a good answer, you know. You don't have to get into, my hip hurts, and I've got this pain in my knees, and I can't, you know, this hurts and that hurts. Instead of getting into all, I just say 20 years ago I was better. Amen? Unless you really need prayer. And I want to thank the people on Facebook who've been praying for me, because I wrenched my back. I was walking the dog the other night praying. I was praying in the spirit. I was having a great time. And I'm walking down the street at midnight and a sidewalk, and I went off a 5-inch block in the sidewalk that was 5 inches higher than the one below, and I just tripped and I wrenched my back and I was in pain, and I came home and I was like, oh, I was moaning. And I just put on Facebook, I said, and you know, and I've been tired with all the floods and everything. I've just, and you know, still my blood counts aren't where they need to be. They're all right. They're pretty good, but they're still below normal. And so that and some medications that they have me on and stuff makes me really tired. And but my physical therapist who works on the Boston Celtics, you know what she said to me 7 years ago? She said, if I can't believe how you're a miracle, she said to me. This is what she said to me. She said, you're a miracle. She said, most people as sick as you, this is what she said to me, would just lie on the couch, turn on the TV, and just tune out the world. That's what they would do. Most people in your condition would lie on the couch. But I work out walk and stretch 4 to 6 days a week. I try to get to the gym at least 3 or 4 days a week. And I don't do heavy weights. I can't. My back, my spine, can't do it anymore. I just do light weights. I do one, like a rotation on the Nautilus. I do stretches. I have about a routine of stretches. I keep going, and I just keep moving, and I don't quit. And I've got two boys that have been playing football for 7 years. One started when he was 6 years old. One started when he was 9 years old. And I got to hand it to these guys. One has won 6 division championships and 5 conference championships. The little guy has won 6 division championships and 5 conference. That's from Greenville. Conference is from Greenville to Kingsport to Mountain City and what's down below Irwin but Elizabethton, and even below that, on the way to Elk Park, just before Elk Park, Roan Mountain, all the way down to Roan Mountain, and that school down there. Yeah, Cloudland. Yep. Cloudland, all the way up to Abingdon, and he's won the conference championship 5 years out of 6 for his age group, and 6 conference championships. And my older boy is a varsity player, and he plays for Tennessee High. They both play varsity and junior varsity for their schools. One's in middle school, one's in high school. Of course, I'm bragging on them. I'm proud of my boys. But I want to just say one thing: they don't quit. My boys, they'll take a beating, and they don't always play. And my little guy, he doesn't always play on the varsity. He's 7th grader, and he plays for the varsity in the middle school with 8th graders and some pretty big guys. I mean, there's guys like 210 pounds, and he's about 120, 130. You know, and he played, but they don't quit. These guys, these boys won't. They won't quit, and they study. They're home studying right now. They've got work, schoolwork, and you know, Joshua, was he 87th percentile in Tennessee? He's in the 87th percentile of all kids in Tennessee. My little guy, the little guy who's got all those championships, and he's. He's got skills that they said to be an engineer or a scientist are his top skills, to be an engineer or a scientist or a mathematician. He's got incredible skills. It's just amazing. You know, I wasn't that smart. I worked at it, and I went from a D student in Spanish to become an A student. I graduated in the top third of my class with a Spanish degree at the University of Vermont. I went from a D student. This just shows you, if you apply yourself to anything, you can become successful. If you apply yourself, you can become successful. And I went from a D student in seventh or eighth grade to a 3.6 by the time I graduated college, which with a Spanish degree. That in 10 cents won't get you a cup of coffee, but you get a teaching degree or something with it, or an MBA, and you'll make millions. That's serious. Just a Spanish degree won't do anything for you, but if you get a teaching degree or an MBA. Anyway, let's go on. So God says come together. Amen? You get that? So there's a reason for that. He wants Jews and non-Jews to come together. And it's not because Jews are better than non-Jews. And it's just because he made two people. There's Jews and there's Gentiles in the world. Okay? It's very simple. It's not LGBTQ, what is it? LGBTQRSTPUVWXYZ. It's just J and G. And it's W and M, woman and man. And it's Jew and Gentile. That's all there is. There's woman and man, and there's Jew and Gentile. Now, you can go and mangle it, you know, and mess things up. Humans, we're good at doing that, like I was talking about the goat. Amen? But for God's festivals, the whole point, and that's why we're doing this with the Baptist Church, and we invite you to come, be a part of our Sukkot, is because and God talks about the coming together of the two folds in Romans and John 10. He says to his Jewish buddies, he says, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of. John 10:14. He says, I must bring them too, and together you'll be one flock with one shepherd. Now, one flock with one shepherd. Now, then John 17, he says something like this. He says, Father, I'm in you and you're in me and we're in them, and I pray that they would be one so that the world might believe, he says. I pray that they will be one. But when he says it, now, is Jesus the Father? No, he's not the Father. How could he be the Son and the Father? Explain that. I mean, what kind of insect can do that? Some kind of insect or bird or something can reproduce itself. I don't know. Is the mother and the father do it all? Anybody know what it is? I can't remember. Huh? It's an insect. Some insects and a few critters can reproduce themselves, but humans can't do it. Okay? Yeshua is not the Father. The Father's the Father. Yeshua is the Son. He says, I only speak what my Father tells me. But he's not the Father. And he says, I leave, and I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So he's not the Holy Spirit, although he may speak through the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't understand. It's a mystery, okay? The Trinity, but it's a unity, okay? So in John 17, he says, I am in you, Father, and you're in me, and we're in them, and they're in us, and I pray that they be one, that they be echad. Echad means like a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become echad, one flesh. Now, Dawn is not Joe, right? She's a lot prettier, isn't she? Amen? She's a lot prettier. Amen? Let's give it up for Dawn. Hallelujah. And you know, she's my wife. But the Bible says a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Amen? One. Echad. You don't stop being the woman. You don't stop being the man. You're echad. You're one in unity. Unity. Okay? If you read in John 17, he says, I pray that they would be perfected in unity. You can read that on your own time. That's the revival of the world. When the Jews, the Messianic Jews, the believing Jews, and the Christians, and the Messianic believing, you know, the Messianic brothers who are not Jewish who come are called. Because if we, and people, non-Jews are called to be Messianic. Some are, not all. Maybe one from a town, two from a church, one from a town, two from a city. You know, one here, one there. You know, pastors don't get too worked up. The floodgates haven't opened, and the people haven't run out of the churches to come be Messianic. Let me tell you, I haven't seen it in 19 years. Okay, but God says, when we come together as one, there's going to be incredible revival. That the world might believe. Okay, let's go on to the message tonight. So this is the Day of Atonement. Amen? This is the Day of Atonement. This is Yom Kippur. This is the day of Israel's national redemption. Now, you might be saying, oh, atonement is sacrifice. Yeshua is our atonement. Okay? Yeshua made atonement for you and me. His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Yeshua is the Son of God. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead on the third day, making atonement for you and me. Kippur. He covers, his blood covers our sins and makes them invisible, makes them go away. Kind of like, you know, your little bleach cloth there kills all those germs and things that, you know, and amoebas and things you can't see on your kitchen counter. That's what Yeshua's blood does for us. It just covers us. It just cleanses from all unrighteousness. Amen? All right. So I wrote this today. I have an interesting message for you. And it's called Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, this is the day of Israel. So what's going to happen on Yom Kippur? First of all, Yom Kippur is the day Israel comes to know the Lord. This is the day that Israel's eyes are open. Zechariah 12:10. And they shall look upon me whom they've pierced as a father mourns for an only son. Zechariah 12:10. Why do they look upon him? Because he's coming in the clouds, okay? And they're mourned for him. Now, there's parallel scriptures like Matthew 24 that says they will mourn for him. Amen? And there's many verses, and I've been teaching on this, but I don't want to get into it tonight. But you can look up that word mourning for him. You can do a search in your concordance, Strong's concordance, and you can see all the verses where Yeshua comes in the clouds and the people mourn. Well, Zechariah 12:10 says, when Israel is attacked by all the nations of the world, Yeshua, the Lord, will come and fight for them in the day of battle. He'll fight for Israel, and they will see him coming in the clouds, and they will mourn for him whom they have pierced, it says, and they shall look upon him as a father mourns for an only son, and he shall open up a fountain of grace and pour out a fountain of grace and supplication. Amen? And they shall see and they'll be saved when he comes. You know, it's a spirit of grace and supplication. Check out that verse. I'm not going to go there. Zechariah 12:10. Read Zechariah 12-14. Now Zechariah 8 says that Yeshua is coming. He says, "I am zealous over Zion, and I will dwell in Jerusalem." When he comes back, he says, "I am zealous over Zion, and I will dwell in Jerusalem." When he returns, he's going to dwell in Jerusalem. Amen? And he's not only that, Zechariah 14 says he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. He's going to set foot. Read that. You can read it on your own time. Zechariah 14, you can always go back to this online. You can watch this on our website. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you can watch it. But you can go back and look at these scriptures or write them down, whatever. But so he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives in East Jerusalem. East. Everybody say East. Why is he going to set foot in? Why is there such a battle for East Jerusalem right now? Why do the Palestinians want to make it the capital of Al-Quds, their name for Jerusalem? Why? Because if they do it, then God's a liar. The devil wants to make God a liar. That's why Iran's nuclear weapons have to be taken out before Donald Trump leaves office, in my opinion. Because if we do not take out Iran's nuclear weapons, then it's like Goliath. If somebody doesn't stand up and fight Goliath, then the armies of Israel are going to be destroyed. Somebody has to defeat this Goliath called Iran and destroy their nuclear weapons. And the only person I can see on the radar is Donald Trump. And if you read my newsletter, The Last President of the United States, incidentally, you can go to my website, www.forzionsake.org. It's in all my newsletters. It's in our literature. Go to newsletters. It's in the top left corner. Click on newsletters. Read. It's four pages, part one and part two. It's eight pages total. It was written months and months before he was elected president. And I said, Trump will be the last president of the United States. And I give you a whole bunch of things that he's already done, like destroy ISIS. And I said the stock market was going to take off when he became president. Has the stock market taken off? Do you know, every time, I love it when they say the stock market's going to crash. And they're having these trade wars and stuff. And they say the stock market's going to go down. It's a good time to buy. It went up like 300 points today, and it settled down at about 200 points, you know, above. Yesterday they said it was going to tank, but it went up. Every time he does something good, you know, that's not anti-globalist, every time he does something that's anti-globalist, God blesses him. Yeah. You notice that? Every time he does something anti-globalist, because the globalists are the one world government, the new world order, that's what it represents. So let's go on here. So my message tonight is a voice crying out in the wilderness, a voice crying out in the wilderness. And the word wilderness in Hebrew is bamidbar. Could y'all say that, bamidbar? Who wants to go in a candy bar business? We'll make bamidbars. Steve thinks that he gets a kick out of he'll get a kick out of that one. Bamidbars. Only certain people would get it. You know what I'm saying? We can make a wilderness survival bar. We'll call it the bamidbar. It's just a thought I had. You know. Anyway, my message is called "A Voice Crying Out in the Wilderness." A voice crying out in the wilderness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Just fill me, anoint our ears to hear, anoint our eyes to see what you have for us. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let us be changed and anoint the people watching. Touch them, Lord. Save them, those who don't know you. Let the Jewish people watching, if there's any watching, let them know that Yeshua is their sacrifice. If you're Jewish and you're watching on this holiday like me, and you're wondering why you never knew if your name was in the Book of Life on this holiday, because the rabbis teach us that the Book of Life is closed on this holiday, and you were never sure in the synagogue if your name was really in the Book of Life, you can know that your name is in the Book of Life if you say yes to Yeshua. If you just ask the Messiah, if Yeshua, just say to the God, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, who is Yeshua? Just ask Elohei Avraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Just ask him, who is Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth? Just ask him that. You know, I'm not even preaching to you. I'm not even telling you what you have to do. Just ask him who he is. He'll show you himself. I don't even have to tell you. All right? Thank you, Lord, for this word. Bind the enemy. Okay. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Repent, for the day of the Lord is sooner than you think. A voice crying out in the wilderness. If your brother sins against you, go to him and try to work it out. Respect leaders and pray for them when you feel they are in error. If a leader is in gross sin, call the elders. Remember, it was Nathan, David's close friend and prophet, who went to David. Amen. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Treat others as you would have them treat you, for the measure that you give will be given back unto you. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes God puts unattractive people in our path and wants us to minister to them. I encourage you to do it. When God puts unattractive people in your path and you have the opportunity or ability to minister to them or to meet their need, whether it's give them a ride, whether it's feed them, whether it's buy them gas, give them a meal, put some a jacket or a rain or give them an umbrella, whatever it is, take care of them when God puts them in your path. Amen? A voice crying out in the wilderness. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes God put, well, I said that one. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Turn the other cheek. Don't let offense overtake you. It is from the enemy. Be long-suffering. Long-suffering. Amen? Long-suffering. Amen? Some of us have had falling outs through the years. Some people in this room. Some of you have had falling outs with each other. But we're together. Amen? Because we're turning the other cheek. Right? Pat yourself on the back. Amen. All right. This is a fruit of the Spirit, to be long-suffering, patient, and turn the other cheek. A voice crying out in the wilderness, forgive 70 times 7. Seek to forgive your brother. But if he or she is angry with you, then you just take it to God and pray for them. Going to someone who's angry at you isn't going to fix it, usually. It's only going to stir up a hornet's nest, and it usually ends up in a fight because you feel offended that they wouldn't receive your gesture of trying to make peace. And so I've seen this and probably done it myself, gotten irritated and you know, hey, I tried to make peace with you and you're telling me to get lost. Well, you get lost. Isn't that the way it goes when you try to make peace with an angry person, right? Amen. Somebody can say amen. Amen. Thank you, dear. Okay, so don't go to them. If they're angry with you, take it to God and just pray for them. If somebody's ticked off at you and you don't think going to them is going to make it better, pray for them. Pray for them. God will fix it. He's able. Going to them, as I said, just pray. A voice crying out in the wilderness, take responsibility for your actions. Stop blaming others. Our president, way before he was president, said these words back in 2002. Donald Trump said, if you are the man, be the man. If you're the man, he said, be the man. So if you see yourself as a player, be the player. If you see yourself as a mouse, be a mouse. If you see yourself as a winner, be a winner. You know? If you see yourself as a successful person, you know, play the part. Come across as a successful person. Make other people think you're successful. Whether you are or not, you know what I'm saying? Whether you are or not, play the part and you'll be surprised. Maybe one day you'll be successful. But if you just, you know, if you just go around, you know, shaggy and I've seen people come. I owned a restaurant and people would put, I don't know what they were into, and they call these, what do they call those things they put in their ears that made big holes? What? Pods? No, those whole things, those earrings that put big holes in their ears. Gauges. They were called gauges. Okay. People would put gauges in their ears and they put tattoos all over their hands, nose rings. I mean, as a restaurant owner, we had a rule. You can have tattoos on your arm as long as they're clean. And that's as far as it can do. But we don't want them on your neck. You can't have them on your neck. No tongue, things in your tongue. No things in your nose. No gauges. And I had guys and gals come to me for jobs, and I automatically wouldn't hire them because they went and ruined their body and made a mess of themselves. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to put you in a restaurant, in my restaurant. Maybe some other restaurant will take you. But you notice you don't see as many people with gauges anymore. And if you want to be successful in life, you want to be a lawyer, it seems like people don't really care about their future. They don't seem to care anymore. A lot of kids don't seem to care if they have a home, if they have, you know, money in the bank, they have investments, if they're successful. They don't seem to care, you know, about their future. I don't know if, you know if kids realize this, but guys, when you're 18, your parents are going to shut the water faucet off. Hello? I'm talking to the kids. When you turn 18, all those things the parents buy you, like clothing, a lot of you, some parents are going to still do it, but other parents, they're going to shut the water faucet off and tell you, you better go out there and get a job. That's what they're going to do. Is that good preaching? Can I get an amen? Amen? All right. You know, I don't know why there's a lack of motivation to be successful out there. But anyway, that's you know, I think it's just we're in the last days. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Take responsibility for your actions. Stop blaming others. I said this. Our president, as he said, if you are the man, be the man. Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. It's normal to fail now and again. It's better to ask for help than not. It's better to ask for help. And when you mess up, run to God. Run to God. Don't run away. A voice crying out in the wilderness, don't run from God or hide like Adam and Eve. Run to God. He will always be merciful and bless you for it. Amen? Don't run from God or hide like Adam and Eve did. Run to God. He will always be merciful. Amen? Praise God. A voice crying out in the wilderness, be courageous, be strong. Don't be a coward. Don't shrink back. If you believe that the Bible supports your words or your deeds, say so. Tell people what the Lord has done for you. Tell people what you believe. Maybe you're wrong. But be open to correction. Be open to teaching. You know, one thing I notice is people, a lot of people don't have a teachable spirit anymore. They're not willing to learn. They've got it all figured out. They've got all the answers, and that's it. I can't, you know, I've had that kind of people, and I just tell them, there's no sense. Why do you call me rabbi? You don't listen to what I say. A voice crying out in the wilderness, guard your hearts from bitterness, hatred, resentment, etc. The love of many is growing cold, brothers and sisters. Don't let your love grow cold. Keep watch over your hearts. Guard your hearts. A voice crying out in the wilderness, don't be a people pleaser. Be a God pleaser. You can't please everybody. You're destined to fail. Do what God has asked you to do. When you do something, do it for God. And if it pleases men, all the better. Amen? But aim to please God. Don't aim to please man. A voice crying out in the wilderness, ask God to show you your blind spots. We all have blind. How many of you have been driving down the road and you don't see a car on your left and you pull into the left lane and somebody leans on the horn and you, I'm terribly sorry, I didn't see you. And you swerve back into your lane. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Amen. You didn't see them because they were right behind you, but they were just on the left of you. They were just kind of tailing you partway up your, you know, to your left, but not fully behind you. And you couldn't see them in the mirror. Well, we all have blind spots, in our lives, in our spiritual life. We all have blind spots. I'll give you an example. I had a friend one time. He's a Bible teacher. He's an elder in a church. He's a Bible teacher, and he told me, he collects things from, you know, he goes around to like the Middle East and to foreign like Italy and steps of Paul and all this kind of, you know, and to Israel and all that. And he collects all kinds of things. He collects idols. So he gets, you know, things like scarabs and Asherah statues and Baal statues of Baal, You know, God said, what did God say to do to those things? Tear them down. Trash them. Break them. Burn them. Amen? Get rid of them. And so I went over to this guy's house. He shall remain nameless. But I went over and while he was away, his wife was having this problem with serpents. Serpents were coming in the house. And they were coming in the bedroom, and she was alone, and the house was getting attacked by serpents. And so then we were over at the house, and we were swimming at their house. We were swimming, and I was taking pictures of my kids swimming, and the wife said, "Don't take pictures of the house. I have a stalker. There's someone stalking me." I said, "God doesn't do this to, you know, his people. God, unless you open a door." So I said to the man, I said, "Brother, get those idols out of your house. Donate them to a museum. Send them up to one of these colleges, you know, Museum of History or whatever, you know, of arts and whatever, you know, get it out of your house. You're opening a door, a spiritual door." He said, "Nah, that's baloney. You know what he said to me? He's the one who said to me, the biggest problem with the church today is biblical illiteracy. This is a Bible teacher saying that the biggest problem with the church is biblical illiteracy, but it's a blind spot. He's still my friend. I love him dearly. It's a blind spot. He doesn't realize that by doing that, bringing idols into your house, you know, I wouldn't bring a skeleton. Would you bring a coffin into your house and, you know, put it in your basement with a skeleton? You know, would you do that? I wouldn't do that. You know, would you invite a witch into your house knowingly? Would you?" Praise the Lord. Good for you. You know, and, okay. So ask God to show you just your blind spots. We all have them. We all have blind spots. Ask God to show you yours. A voice crying out in the wilderness. What's the real thing? God, show me the real thing. That was one of the first things I prayed when I came here. What's the real thing? You know, the house of King David was the real thing. But there were a lot of imposters. Jeroboam, Adonijah tried to take over the kingdom. Absalom tried to take over the kingdom. Then there was the northern kingdom. A lot of other kingdoms, but there's only one throne. Luke 1 says that the Messiah, and when the angel Gabriel comes and visits Mary, he says, "And this child of yours is going to sit on the throne of David." Yeah. Amen? There's only one Davidic kingdom. All other kingdoms are phony. The British monarchy's phony. It's a kingdom. No, it's a real kingdom, but it's not the chosen kingdom. There's a kingdom in Sweden or Denmark or something. Whatever. There's a kingdom in Greece. Spain has a king. It's a real kingdom, but it's not the chosen kingdom. Amen. There's only one house of David. I'm challenging you. When you leave here, ask God. God, show me the real thing. Show me the real thing. And bring me to the real thing. Don't take old Joe Bell's word for it, old Yovel. Pray and ask God what the real thing is. Okay, a voice crying out in the wilderness. Respect authority. I don't care who it is. Read Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. Like a child won't win arguing with a parent, no matter what, neither will you fighting authority. God sees, he calls it rebellion, even when you are right. Even when you're right and you argue with your boss or someone in authority over you, even if you're right, if you make it an issue and they discipline you or they kick you out or they fire you, whatever, that you're wrong and they're right. You know, the Queen of England, they did a special. They had a chef who was in Buckingham Palace, and he talked about the food that the royals ate. And he said, it's not, you know, like the best, you know, food in the world, like the best French cuisine, okay? In fact, they don't like French food, and they don't like garlic. And he said they like their ice cream scooped a certain way, and he says whether it's wrong or whether it's right, it's how they like it. That's what he said. Whether it's wrong or whether it's right, in a culinary sense, it's how they like it. And that's all that matters. The boss is the queen, in his case. The boss is the queen of England. And she likes her ice cream and her potatoes and whatever a certain way. Amen? And if you don't make it right, you're going to be out of a job. So it doesn't matter if you're right. If you have somebody who's over you, if you're in the army, if you're in the military, and you may be right. But being right doesn't always mean you're going to win. And if you're fighting your authority and your authority disagrees with you, that's called rebellion. So being right doesn't matter. Sometimes. A voice crying out in the wilderness. A little prayer goes a long way. Prayer changes things. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James said. Pray. Amen? You want to see change in your life? Pray. Pray, 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 and don't stop praying until you get what it is you're looking for. Amen? Until you see change, and some people in this room have seen me pray, and God has done some miraculous things. Amen? A voice crying out in the wilderness, be at peace with your enemies as best you can. You will find shalom when you do this. When you're at peace with your enemies, you can actually get along with people that are absolutely ungodly, that hate your guts, that really don't like you and are just stand for everything that you don't, and you stand for everything that they don't, but you can have peace with them. It's possible. I learned that. A voice crying out in the wilderness. When you need answers, open your Bible and turn off your phone or the TV. God will speak to you sometimes instantly. Stop, put down the magazines, turn off the TV, put the book down, open the Bible, and I'm telling you, you're wondering, this happened to me a few nights ago. I read about a book a month. I read a novel a month, okay? I just get my head out, you know, just to go away. It's my own, like, little vacation. I read books. So I read about a book a month, like, you know, one of those 300-400-page thrillers, you know? And so one night I put the book down, I opened the Bible, and I was asking God, God, what do you want me to do tomorrow? And when I put the book down and I opened the Bible, he spoke to me. He said, I want you to do these two things tomorrow. Instantly, I just read one psalm and I heard the Lord just downloaded, this is what you need. Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. Have you ever had that kind of experience? Amen. Okay. A voice crying out in the wilderness, wherever you stand, stand with Israel. That means locally, like the Roman centurion of Luke 7 who built the synagogue in Capernaum. He had the money. He could have built it much closer to Jerusalem for celebrity appeal, right? But he chose to build it in the hick town, a little hick fishing village on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. And let me tell you something about Israel. You know how that guy, Peter Strzok, went to southwest Virginia and he went to a Walmart and said he could smell the stench of Trump voters? Now, I have news for Peter Strzok. Probably half the people in that Walmart were Hillary Clinton voters. Would you agree with that? Not everybody in Southwest Virginia is a Trump supporter, right? Virginia is a purple state, blue state. It's not necessarily a red state. Just because people drive pickup trucks, may wear plaid shirts, flannel shirts, T-shirts, shorts, they don't dress like they do in Reston or Alexandria or Falls Church or Washington, D.C. with $1,000 Armani suits and things like that, and they don't look the same, doesn't mean they're Trump supporters. Amen? There's a lot of folks going to be downtown this next weekend for Rhythm and Roots that don't like Donald Trump. They're not necessarily conservatives. They just don't look like Peter Strzok or an FBI agent. Don't judge a book by its cover. Amen. So wherever you stand, stand with Israel. That means locally, like the Roman centurion of Luke 7. We're your local Israel connection. There's another one in Knoxville. There's one in Asheville. There's Messian. When I came here 19 years ago, there was nobody doing Passover, Shabbat. The only people you know who was doing Shabbat? Seventh-day Adventists and the Worldwide Church of God. The Seventh-day Adventists and the Worldwide Church of God, which was going under at the time. The Worldwide Church of God was crashing, and they've split up, and I don't even know if they still exist. They were Sabbath keepers. And then there was the Seventh-day Adventists, and there was a few Seventh-day Baptists around. But there was no messianic stuff. It wasn't here. We were the first. God sent us here. I'm telling you, folks, I'm from Boston. I grew up on Cape Cod, the most beautiful beaches. The most beautiful beach. I've been up all along the East Coast, from Key West, from Marathon and Key West, all the way up to Maine. And all along the East Coast, the most beautiful beaches in the Northeast, in the East Coast, is Cape Cod. Cape Cod, there's nothing. If you've never been to Cape Cod, you have there's a peace about going to Cape Cod. There's a peace that you get when you cross that bridge and you go over onto that arm they call Cape Cod. It's just so different from any other place, from Florida, from Myrtle Beach. It's just totally different. I'd love to take everybody. If I was a rich guy, if I had millions of dollars, if I had just a couple million dollars, I'd take you all up there for a week or two. Amen. Rent a couple big houses. We'd have a blast. It's beautiful. It's just nothing like it. I left it to come to you. I gave it all up. Mark 10:29 says, there's no one who's left father or mother, sister or brother, lands, homes, farms for my sake, even children or the sake of the gospel, who shall not receive brothers and sisters, lands, homes, farms, and a hundredfold in this life and eternal life in the age to come. Eternal life. My wife, I gave her an award today. God told me to give her an award. I'm in the Rotary Club, and I'm in the Rotary Club, and they have a thing called a Paul Harris Fellowship, and I've been paying $25 a month. I don't get a choice. They make you pay $25 a month towards this Paul Harris Fellowship, and what it does is it gives charity. It helps defeat polio. It helps defeat other diseases. It digs wells for people in Haiti. It does good stuff. And so over 10 years, if you think about it, $25 four times a year, $100 a year for 10 years, that's $1,000. A Paul Harris Fellowship costs $1,000. So I've been a member 10 years, and somebody gave me a Paul Harris Fellowship when I got better from cancer. They gave me the pen. They spent $1,000 on me. My friends did. When I got better from cancer in 2012, they gave me a Paul Harris Fellowship. So I have this money collecting. It's not mine. I don't get to take the money. I'm saying, Lord, who should I give a Paul Harris Fellowship to? I prayed about it because I wanted to honor somebody. I knew I had this money in an account in Rotary, and I wanted to honor somebody. And it waited 2 years, and God said, honor your wife. She just honor the pilot. And she got up today. She said, he made me put my uniform on. She told the she said, he made me do it. Like, I got up this morning and I took the belt out and, all right, put that uniform on, woman. You know. She wore that uniform. And you know what? The president of Rotary said it was beautiful. He said it was a beautiful thing He said, me honoring her and pinning her and giving her that award. She gave. Let's give it up for Dawn. People, talk about people that get these awards are people like Ron Ramsey, Steve Johnson, big players. They're the ones they bring in. They give these awards, the chief of police, Bristol, Virginia, and stuff like that. God told me, give it to bless your wife, honor your wife. And I was blessed to see my wife honored and lifted up today. And I didn't do it. God did it. Amen. All right. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Being a friend to the Jews starts in your hometown. We are not the easiest people to get along with at times. But you got to love us. I was once on an airplane. Now, one time I was at the Western Wall. And this guy, this Orthodox guy, I was praying, and he interrupted my prayer for money. They're beggars. There's a lot of these Orthodox beggars at the Western Wall, and they know a lot of Christians come to Israel. They know a lot of Christians go to the wall, and they spot you. They know you're not Jew. They know you're not one of them. Whether you're Jewish or you're a Christian, they know you're not one of them, okay? Just like you're not one of them. They know you're not one of them. So this guy, I'm having a time of prayer with the Lord, a very intimate time, and this guy interrupted me for money. And I just lost it. I lost my temper with this guy, and I told him, just get away from me. Don't touch me. Just get away. Get lost. Go away. Stop begging. Just get off of me. And I got to confess in my heart, this is years ago, I just didn't like these people. I didn't like them. I'm talking about the ultra-Orthodox. I just didn't like them. I just didn't have a warm spot in my heart for them. I knew they hated me. They hate Messianics. They're the ones keeping us out of Israel. But one day I was on a plane going to Israel, and one of these guys gets up at 5:30 in the morning and wakes me up. And he's like, can I get out? He's sitting in the middle. I'm on the end of the row. And he wants to get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning at sunrise to pray in the back of the plane. And that's what they do. They pray three times a day. And they pray, sunrise, at evening. And then at nighttime, they say their prayers. Afternoon, three times a day, okay? And God dealt with me about this guy. He says, Joe, love this guy. Love him. He's this unlovable person that's annoying you at 6 o'clock in the morning while you're trying to sleep, and he's trying to get out so he can go pray and make noise five rows behind you. It sounds like bees. They're saying the Hebrew so fast I can't understand it. And God's telling me, he says, love this guy. And God changed my heart right there. He just gave me a love for these people that I didn't love. So what I'm saying to you is, love the Jewish people around you. Even if you don't like them, you still got to love them. Get past the personality. If you may not like me. And, I said to a pastor a few weeks ago, you're interested in getting together with me, with the Messianics. I'm the only Messianic in town. I'm the only Messianic Jew here that God sent here to start a congregation. Now, there's people doing Jewish stuff. There's other places you can go and celebrate the feast, but they're not necessarily Jew and Gentile. You understand? They're not necessarily Jew and Gentile. So, you may not like me personally. I may rub you the wrong way. You may not like my jokes. You may not like my hair. Maybe you don't like my beard. Whatever. You may not like somebody likes my cologne tonight. Thank you, Diane. Diane liked my cologne. So, thank you. I appreciate it. Chanel. You may not like me, but it's not about me. You got that? It's not about me, Tom, Wendell, Buzz. It's about God. It's about Jew and Gentile. Perfected in unity. Read John 17. It's about us becoming one, echad, not one church. It's not about Jews. You're never going to get the Jews to join a church. Yes, you'll get some Jews to join churches, but you're never going to get all the Jews in Israel to get saved. And then if you've been to Israel, who's been to Israel? Raise your hand. What happens on Fridays about 2 o'clock in the afternoon? It shuts down, right? Why does it shut down? Shabbat. You think you're going to get the whole country of Israel, of Jews, to become Baptists? You think you're going to convert them to Church of God? Do you know every church in the world is in Israel thinking they're going to convert them to become what they are? Everybody wants the Jews to become something else. Leave us alone! Let us be Jews! Leave us alone and let us just be Jews. We don't bother you. We let you come to Israel. We let you open up your churches and buy land and rent land and do your thing, whatever it is you do. Let us do what we do. Let it be. Amen. Leave us alone and learn to love us. I'll tell you, and lightning strike me down, hellfire and brimstone come upon me, roof cave in, tree fall on my head, if I'm not the Jew that God sent to this town to do this job 19 years ago. I'm so confident of my calling. I'm so confident of what the voice I heard that made me give up my life in Boston where I loved it. Come here, my messianic synagogue that I loved, my friends that I loved, my family. I left my family. I've been to about 7 holidays with my family in 22 years. I gave up everything to come here to do this with you all. What have you given up? My wife gave up a job as a DC-10 pilot. Do you know, 22 years as a DC-10 pilot, she'd be a captain on a 747 by now. And I guarantee you we'd probably have a house in Maui or a house on Cape Cod and a nice big house in Terre Hills or wherever, you know, if we were even here. If I'd stayed with her in the airlines and not said, yeah, honey, leave the airlines and answer the call of God and come here, we'd be rolling in the green stuff. That's what we gave up. $300,000 salary. I was making, you know, I was being interviewed at the time when she got a job in Minneapolis with Northwest Airlines, which was based in Minneapolis. I was being interviewed by Pillsbury, which is based in, well, I'm the Pillsbury Doughboy. I'm the Pillsbury Joe boy. Amen. I'm Yovel, and I'm also the Pillsbury Joe boy. You know, I had a cousin who called me that all my life. He said, you're the Pillsbury Joe boy. I actually ended up making bagels and cinnamon rolls. He was prophetic. I am the Pillsbury Joe boy because my cinnamon rolls were Pillsbury. Praise the Lord. A voice crying out in the wilderness, so love us Jews. You may not like us, but love us. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Sooner or later, everybody's coming back to Jerusalem. I don't care. You think you're an Israelite. You think you're whatever you... I don't care what church you are. If your church believes you're the true Israel, like the Church of Christ, many of the Anglican Church, the Episcopal Church, many of the Protestant churches, the Catholic Church thinks they're the true Israel, the Mormons think they're the true Israel. Leave us alone. Sooner or later, everybody's coming back to Jerusalem. Isaiah 2, come let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, for the nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord. And the law will go forth from Jerusalem, and the word of the from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and the nations will stream to where? Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 30. Hezekiah, the northern kingdom, was destroyed by the Assyrians. Hezekiah sent out messengers in 2 Chronicles 30, invite the survivors from the lost tribes, invite the survivors from the lost tribes, and to come celebrate Passover. And they came and celebrated Passover. Well, some did and some didn't. But they had the, it said it was the greatest Passover since the time of Joshua, son of Nun. Wow, that must have been some humdinger of a Passover. From the time of Joshua to the time of Hezekiah, that was one rocking Passover with all those lost tribes. They found those lost Jews. I think the lost tribes meant they were spiritually lost more than physically. Anna the prophetess what tribe was she from? Simeon, Asher. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on. Zechariah 8. I am zealous over Zion. I will dwell in Jerusalem. Zechariah 14. The Lord's foot will set foot on the Mount of Olives in East Jerusalem. We're going to Jerusalem. The wedding's going to be in Jerusalem. The judgment's going to be in Jerusalem. It's all going to be in Jerusalem. And we're all going back to Jerusalem. Stop going to Rome, says a voice crying out in the wilderness. Stop going back to Rome. Why do you go back to Rome? Why don't you go to Jerusalem? I'm not just talking to you in this room, I'm talking to everybody out there. Why do people keep going back to Rome? What's Rome, you say? Look it up. A voice crying out in the wilderness. The oracles of God were entrusted to the Jewish people. Romans 3:2. And since the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, irrevocable, Romans 11:29, that means that the oracles of God are still entrusted to the Jewish people. That's why God sends us all over the world to teach people we don't even know and to give them a message that they're not getting from their shepherds. Capiche? The oracles of God, a voice crying out in the wilderness is telling you the oracles of God were entrusted to the Jews, Romans 3:2, and since the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, irrevocable, it is the Messianic Jews who will have the end time prophetic plan for God's people. In Matthew 17, Yeshua, Jesus said, Elijah's coming back to restore all things. He then said that John was Elijah, but he failed. He goes on to say, look what they did to John. He didn't accomplish his mission. He didn't restore. Did John restore all things? Did he? How many of you think John restored all things? Did John restore the hearts of the fathers to the children? The hearts of the children to the fathers? Raise your hand if you think he did. How many of you think Elijah's coming back? Read Matthew 17. I'll read it to you. I haven't read a scripture all night, so I'll just look at one. I've read one scripture, Leviticus 23. I'm just going to read this quick to you quickly, Matthew 17. Okay. Where does he talk about Elijah? There's a Mount of Transfiguration. Come on, Joe. So much goes on here. Okay, all right. So, and his disciples asked him, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. What did he say? Elijah is coming. Everybody say that. Elijah is coming. That's not old Yovel talking. That's Jesus talking. Amen? That's Yeshua. He says, Elijah's coming. Now, this is after John the Baptist lost his head. Okay. This is after John the Baptist lost his head, and Yeshua says, Elijah's coming. Why don't people get that? Not saying you. I'm saying pastors don't get that. They say John the Baptist was Elijah, and that's it. Okay, let's read on. Verse 12. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did do him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. So John the Baptist didn't quite accomplish the full mission of Elijah, did he? He was the forerunner of the Lamb of God. He did accomplish his mission, that he lost his head as a lamb, right? Led to the slaughter. But there's another Elijah coming. He's a Lion of Judah. He's a Lion of Judah. He's a voice crying out in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And he will restore the hearts of the children to the fathers. And you know what else? He gets a bigger cup than all the other cups at Passover. He drinks the biggest cup. Why does he get a big cup? Not because he likes coffee. He gets a big cup because he has a big job. Elijah's coming back. What about that? He then said to John, John was Elijah but failed to accomplish the mission. Would you recognize a modern Elijah today, brethren? Would you recognize Elijah? How would you? Will he be a Jew? How many of you think he'll be a Jew? Okay, quite a few. Will he be a Christian? Raise your hand if you think he'll be a Christian. It's okay, you don't offend me if you do. Okay. Will he be a Messianic Jew? Raise your hand if you think he'll be a Messianic Jew. If he's Elijah, he's going to be Messianic, right? I mean, he's obviously going to be Messianic, right? And I think he's going to be Jewish. So I think he's going to be a Messianic Jew. Here's the problem. Christians won't accept him because he's a Messianic Jew. Jews won't accept him because he's Messianic. And Messianics won't accept him because we're stiff-necked and stubborn and we don't accept anybody. He's got a big cup. He's got to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Amen. I'm almost done. Okay. Poor guy. Voice crying out in the wilderness. If you believe in Yeshua Jesus, if you believe in the Bible, if you believe in borders and the sovereignty of nations as opposed to globalism, if you believe in life, the sanctity of life, if you believe marriage is between a man and a woman, if you believe in the Second Amendment, if you believe in privacy with your doctor and privacy in your home, if you believe in choice of medical care, if you believe in free speech, if you believe that you should manage your own money and have less money spent on taxes and less money taken out of your paycheck. If you agree with that, raise your hand. Praise God. Then you're a minority in the world if you believe that. You have until Donald Trump leaves office to get on Noah's Ark of this generation. You have until you have until the Donald Trump leaves office to get on the Noah's Ark of this generation. I'd be praying and asking God, what is the Noah's Ark of this generation? I would be praying because Donald Trump has about 5 to 6 years. After him, you are so outnumbered by the globalists. I don't care that there's 300 million guns in America. I don't care that there's 300 million guns in America. I don't care that there's guys with AR-15s and AR-10s. I don't care that there's guys with 10,000 rounds of ammunition. I don't care there's guys with houses with 20 rooms and they've got all the guns in the world. But how are you going to defend a house unless you've got a house with 20 rooms, Tom? Can you defend a house with 20 rooms if you've just one guy with a gun? If some SWAT team comes around, no way. They're going to get you, aren't they? You got to have quadrants. And Steve, you tell me if I'm wrong. You divide a house into two triangles, and one person takes one triangle, one person takes the other triangle. If you have more than that, then that's all the better, amen? But if all you have is two people, one person takes one triangle, one person takes the other, and that's how you defend a house, amen? Amen. So you know, there's a way to do it, but if Trump's gone, then your Twitter account's gone. Your ability to network on Facebook, on Snapchat, on Instagram, on all these things, if you believe in all those things that I just said about marriage between a man and a woman, the Second Amendment, the Bible, borders, legal immigration, if you believe in all these things, you know, your ability to communicate. And somebody said to me the other day on Facebook, they said, there's an army of people that are going to, they'll come together, they'll come out and they'll fight. The left is out there already beating the tar out of Trump supporters. And Trump supporters are taking it for the most part, aren't they? They're not rising up. You don't see marches of Trump supporters, do you? You know, you just don't see it. Okay. How are they going to communicate when Trump's gone and all the communication is on the other side? Google, Facebook, Twitter, all Fox News will be gone. The networks will all be left wing. How are you going to communicate? How are you going to get your militia together? If you don't start dealing with this stuff now, and I'm not advocating, I'm not sitting here, I'm a preacher, I'm not giving anybody advice, I'm just getting you to think. I'm not telling you to go start a militia. If you're watching me, you know, I'm not plotting the overthrow of anything. I'm just saying, your ability to communicate is going to be going to go down the drain. So people ought to think about that, and they ought to start some kind of conservative, what do you call it? Network, Twitter, you know, call it, you know, I don't know, something. The Ark is Aliyah. The Ark. I'm at the end here. The arc of this generation is Aliyah. In Revelation 12:14, God promises to take his people, the Messianic Jews, and bring them to the desert. He talks about it. The sign of Revelation 12, you can turn there. This is my last scripture. See, my page is over. Revelation 12. This sign was fulfilled last year. You know that? Revelation 12:1. A great sign, everybody say a great sign, appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head was a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. That woman is Israel. The 12 stars represent the 12 tribes, amen? That was fulfilled last year. Do you know the woman was Virgo, and she had the moon under her feet, representing Islam? The moon was under her feet. The symbol of Islam is the moon. Moon was under her feet. In other words, she dominates. She stands on Islam. And she had, was it Jupiter inside her belly for 9 months? Jupiter? Jupiter was in her belly for 9 months. And it came down from her belly on September 23rd, the day after Rosh Hashanah, the day after the Feast of Trumpets. Jupiter came out of her loins and was born. And there were three planets and nine stars above her head in the form of a lion called Leo. And those three planets were Mercury, Venus, and something else. Mars? Three planets and nine stars, and that made up the 12 stars, the crown on her head. Amen. And that was fulfilled last year on September 23rd, and now in Revelation 12, it says, and she, verse 5, and she gave birth to a son, a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, into Egypt, where she had a place prepared by God so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. So Mary and Joseph went to Egypt, and they fled from the from Herod. Amen. But then it says there was a war in heaven, and it gets all kinds of, you know, this kind of, you know, this is apocalyptic. There was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. So who is the dragon? Who is the serpent? That's right. The dragon and the serpent is Satan, and Satan is the devil who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down, this amazed me when I saw this, to earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Well, in one sense, that's Mary, but in another sense, it's Israel. Why do I say it's Israel? Because in verse 14, stay with me just for a minute. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time. See, God gave the woman jet. John the Revelator didn't know what a jet was, so he saw this great eagle, he called it, with two wings. He gave the woman, come here, Dawn. He gave the woman, she's a type of the woman who flies a jet. And she's not the woman. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying my wife is the woman. I'm saying she's a type of the woman. Amen. Who flies a jet. Interesting, that was this year that God had her fly the jet. If you'd have asked me 8 months ago or 9 months ago if she'd be flying jets now, I would have said, I don't know. We'll see. You know, she hit the button one day and applied, and she got a job. And she did a lot of work to get there, to hit that button. But I didn't know she'd be flying, you know. But she's a type of that woman, and this is the year, the same year that that thing was fulfilled. It's been a year, that sign. It says, the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river. We just had three floods in our fellowship hall with no hurricane. I think it's interesting that my wife just became a jet pilot, that the sign of Revelation 12 was fulfilled last Rosh Hashanah, and this Rosh Hashanah, we got flooded with water. The devil is attacking us. It hit me. It just downloaded on me. I was like, God, why? He's like, the devil's attacking you with water, and God is going to open the ground, and we're going to have a drain put. He's going to open the ground. We have a drain put in this week. Supposed to be tomorrow. We're going to put a drain in behind the building so it doesn't flood anymore. But it's like it all started coming at me. It's like prophetically, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and God's going to attack the Jews and people who hang out with us with water. The devil, not God. The devil's going to attack the Jews and people who hang out with us with water. Man's going to use bullets and guns and missiles and rockets and tanks and all that kinds of stuff. The devil's going to use water. Watch out for fire trucks. Avoid fires. They could turn the hose on you. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman. That's not Mary, is it? That's Israel. Mary wasn't attacked with water, was she? So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Yeshua. Who are the people that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Yeshua? Those the messianic, the messianics. They're the ones who they don't keep it perfectly, but they keep the spirit of the commandments and the testimony of Yeshua. Amen? That's it right there. And that's you. If you're here, you're two-thirds of the way where you need to be. 90% of it is just showing up. 90% of getting in the ark is just being in the right place at the right time. Do you know that? 90% is just showing up. Let me conclude. In Revelation 12, 14, thank you, sweetheart. God promises to take his people, the Messianic Jews, and bring them to the desert of Israel to protect them from the evil days to come. He will take many Christians who see the handwriting on the wall. We Jews call this Aliyah. You must be a sojourner. You must be one who sojourns with the Messianic Jews. You either join with us and come, or you labor with us in the field, like Fred. He doesn't come to service. He's coming here tonight, but he doesn't come. He has a church. Fred and Martha go to a church. They're welcome to come here if God moves them here. I'm not saying they're not, but they go to church. But hey, Fred puts his shoulder together with me and my people, and Martha does too. They put everything they have to get with us. Amen. And they're part of us. They're not. This isn't their congregation, but they're sojourners with us. Amen. That's what a sojourner is, someone who demonstrates through actions that they're committed. Some people join and they show that they're committed. There's other people that join and don't do anything. I've had people join and never even give a tithe. They've gone through membership class and not tithed. Strange thing, you know. I can't figure it out. But anyway, that's not what my point is. So he'll take many Christians. You see the handwriting on the wall. We call this Aliyah. You must be a sojourner. And to understand a sojourner, you got to read Numbers 15, 14. If you have a pen, write this down. Numbers 15, 14 through 17. Ezekiel 47, 21. Ezekiel 47, 21. Isaiah 56. To be part of Aliyah, there will be no pre-trib rapture. To be part of Aliyah, you got to be a sojourner. A voice crying out in the wilderness is saying, "There will be no pre-trib rapture. It's a fable." If you believe this and you know it in your heart, I invite you to come and learn God's true plan for His people here. If you believe in your heart that there isn't going to be a pre-trib rapture, I invite you to come. I don't believe in it. I don't teach it. I love you if you believe it. I hope you're right. I always tell my people, there's some people here that believe it. I love them dearly. I love you. If you believe in it, I still love you. I hope you love me. But I'm going to tell you, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. And I'm telling you tonight, a voice crying out in the wilderness, there will be no pre-trib rapture. It's a fable. If you believe this and you know it in your heart, I invite you to come and learn God's true plan for His people. Those who rebel, Ezekiel 20:33, will be left behind. Those who rebel against going to Israel, the Bible says in Jeremiah 30, verse 10, that Israel is the only nation that will survive. Israel is the only nation that will survive. All the nations will be destroyed by the Lord at His coming. There'll just be a remnant of people that aren't destroyed. Jeremiah 30, verse 10, 11, 12, 13, you read it. Read it. If you're watching, those who rebel against Aliyah, Ezekiel 20, verse 33, they will not enter His land, it says. Ezekiel 20, 33, 34, 35, read it. Those who rebel against God's plan for Aliyah will be left behind, and many will be martyred. Many will be martyred. That's a voice crying out in the wilderness is saying that to you. I love you dearly. I love you all. And, Aliyah, which means the return to Israel, is the word for the return of the Jewish people back to Israel, is when they make Aliyah. And people say to me, Rabbi Joe, it's illegal for Jews to go back to Israel. It's illegal. Yes, it is. It's the law says, but God is above the law of man. God's law. And the law of Jubilee, of the return. Jubilee, the promise of Jubilee is that we will inherit, we will return to the land that God gave our ancestral tribes. We will be restored to the land. I said this at the beginning, Jubilee, Yovel, we will be restored to the land of our ancestors. I have not been restored. American Jews have not been restored to the land of our ancestors. Aliyah from the West has not happened yet. Even though Israel is a state, it isn't nothing compared to what it's going to be. And you say to me, well, Rabbi Joe, it's not legal. Jews can't go there and Christians can't become. I tell you, God's going to change that. God's going to change that. That Christians will be able to go to Israel and Messianic Jews will be able to go to Israel. And I believe that planes will be leaving for Israel full of Messianic Jews and Christians, and anyone who sees the handwriting on the wall before Donald Trump leaves office. Thus says a voice crying out in the wilderness. Please rise, I want to bless you. You may notice I'm being bolder lately in my message. Time is short, guys. Time is very short. You have the heartbeat of Donald Trump. The heartbeat of Donald Trump. And that's it. We can stop that, honey. Folks on Facebook, we love you. God bless you. Happy Yom Kippur. Have a good fast. But guys, for the rest of you, time is short. And I'm going to be hammering it. You know, I'm going to be hammering this word. Pray for me. Pray for intercessors for this ministry. We need intercessors because the attack is fierce. But Aliyah is the ark. Aliyah, the returning to Israel. Planes. And I always wondered, how are we going to get to Israel without getting blown out of the sky? If our enemies, the Iranians are in the Mediterranean, the Russians are in the Mediterranean, people who hate Jews are in the Mediterranean with rockets and shoulder-fired air surface-to-air missiles, how are we going to get planes full of Jews over Europe and across the Mediterranean, Italy and Greece and Switzerland? How are we going to get them to Israel without getting blown out of the sky? And God said the two wings of the great eagle are the two wings of the United States. That your United States Air Force and the United States Navy are going to, Donald Trump's going to use the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Air Force to help the Jewish people go home. And there's going to be stealth bombers and stealth fighters, and there's going to be refueling in the sky, and there'll be submarines, and there'll be aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean. And that's the last great act of and destroying Iran's nuclear capability are the two last great acts of Donald Trump. I don't think he's going to be successful building the wall. It's just America's destiny is not to survive longer than Trump. Michael Moore said, and he's been saying, Trump is the last president of the United States. You can Google that. I've been saying it for 2 years. Michael Moore has been saying it to promote his new movie, Fahrenheit 11/9, which is the day after Trump was elected, Fahrenheit 11/9. He's been saying, you can Google this, he's been saying that Trump is the last president, not for the same reasons I say it, but you can read my newsletter. Just go to my website, go on newsletters if you don't have it. You can get the tape set. It's a suggested donation of $25 if you want to order it. The CDs, I preached 3 sermons on it. You can get those. If you want to get my message on the feasts from last year, I'll even throw this one in for free. Order it. You can order it for $25, and I'll give you this message from tonight. This was a great set on all the feasts last year. So anyway, I want to bless you. Thank you for coming. Please come back next Wednesday. And don't be mad at me. Remember, I said don't be offended. Oh, tomorrow night. Please come back tomorrow night. We're going to conclude the feast, and we're going to have a shorter service, and we're going to go out to eat about 7:30. We'll go out to eat. So, And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. Vayasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. And if you come tomorrow night, I have a special treat, special surprise about the rapture. A lot of people think it's on Rosh Hashanah. So come tomorrow and you'll find out. Greet one another and good night. Love you.